I'm going to jump into here. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. We'll be looking at the parables of the lost. There's the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And have you ever noticed how easily it is to get lost? Sometimes it happens because of a series of loud and reckless choices. We hang out with the wrong crowd. We deliberately walk down a path that we know we shouldn't. But I think most of the time, that's not how we end up lost. It's by simply drifting. It's not one or two big choices, it's just a few little ones that add up over time. And we get distracted by whatever is happening in our lives, by our phone, by our school, by our work, or whatever it is. And we just get kind of spiritually lazy. And we look up one day and realize that we're miles away from where we started, and we're isolated and cold. And when we realize we've drifted, our human instinct is, I think, to try to hide, to try to work harder. And we think that we have to do those things before we can begin to like follow God again. That, oh, I have to turn this around, otherwise God won't accept me where I'm at. And we assume he's standing there with his arms crossed, ready to be mad at us for and waiting to give us a lecture. But today we're going to look at the heart of Jesus to discover this like this beautiful truth that God is not waiting for you to clean up your life before you come to him. That he's actively continuously pursuing you right now. And to see this clearly, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 15. In the black Bibles in the pews, it's page 1489. Right before Jesus speaks the words that we're going to read today, there's a fascinating cultural tension that's happening. On one side, you have all of these sinners, these like people who are just broken. Some of them are harlots, some of them are whatever, they're tax collectors, they're sinful people living sinful lives. And then on the other side, you have the Pharisees, these people who are trying to live so pure lives, and they have all of these elaborate rules that they're trying to give to the people who are sinful to bring them back. And Jesus tells these stories in light of it. So up on your screen here is going to be Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. You can read it along. I'm going to read it right out of the Bible here. Here's what it says. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And after he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and carries it home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. So here in the text, these Pharisees and their scribes, these experts in the law, they complain about Jesus' association with sinners. And Jesus shares these three parables, we're going to read the next two later on, that teach this defense of Jesus' ministry for the outcast. And it's an appeal to the Pharisees. Come and join what I'm doing. Celebrate that these people are, that they are entering into the kingdom. All three parables are connected by the joy of having found what was lost. We're going to see that across all three, that there is something that is lost, and when it is found, there is great joy. And that's a key theme for Luke. God loves outcasts and sinners, and he loves when they're brought home. Parables are these short stories that challenge the hearers. They're meant to challenge the people who heard them to respond. Jesus wants them to respond in some way. And so what response did Jesus want out of the Pharisees here? Jesus tells the story of a shepherd who has 100 sheep and he loses one of them. He leaves the 99 to go and find the one. And when he does, he celebrates with his friends and neighbors. So this will be my first point. If you want to mark this down inside of your bulletin, if you have the app and you're filling it along, you can just hit one button if you want and it'll fill it all in for you. But if you fill it all in at the end of the day, we got dum-dums for whoever fills them in. I saw some heads like look up at Dum-Dum. I can get a sucker out of this. Point one is the God who tracks us down. The God who tracks us down. The shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one. And Jesus is inviting this response. Verse 7, Luke 15, 7, I think that's on a slide in here. Thank you. Says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Like, think about this. Think about what this means, that Jesus knows, heaven knows, all of heaven, the angels, God know how much sin there is in the world. And Jesus is saying that when there is one sinful person that repents and comes back and is brought back in, there is more joy in heaven at that than at 99 who lived righteous lives and never needed to repent. That's a big deal. Do we actually believe Jesus believes that? Are we living in that way to go, when there is one person here that we see come to know Jesus Christ and turn their life around, that we celebrate that more than all of us who never had to turn our lives around at all? That's what Jesus says all of heaven celebrates. I'm not saying go and sin so that grace can cover more of your sins, but Jesus is asking his audience, do you care more about people that have turned to the good news, leaving behind old ways? Do you care more about that than the people who never left the good ways at all? So this is my next fill in the blank. God finds great joy when lost people repent and are found by the shepherd. God finds great joy when lost people repent and are found by the shepherd. We ought to be just as joyful as the shepherd who found his sheep. Like, think about a puppy. Think about a puppy who slips through like a loose board in the fence. And he didn't dig out because he hated his owner or something. He just saw a butterfly, got distracted, and wandered off. I think some of you can relate to that. Just wandered off. But suddenly the sun goes down, it gets cold, cars are zooming by, and he is terrified, shivering in the bushes. He can't fix his own problems, he can't find his way home. But back at the house, the owner isn't just watching TV. The owner's walking in the dark, walking those dark streets with a flashlight, calling his name frantically because that puppy's part of the family. It was lost. I think so many of us are like that dumb sheep, that little puppy that's wandered off. And while the shepherd calls your name, and if you don't believe you're a dumb sheep, just ask your mom. She'll tell you. I don't know where that came from. That's not even in my notes. I think many of us are in that exact position. You look at your schedule, you realize you haven't prayed, you haven't read scripture, you haven't thought about God in days. And you feel spiritually cold and you assume God must be angry with you. Stop hiding in your shame. God's not mad. Jesus doesn't look at you with frustration when you wander off. I think there's a prayer that you can say if that's you today. You can pray silently to yourself, Jesus, I got distracted and wandered off, and please carry me back to be close to your heart. Let's look at verses 8 to 10. This one's a pretty short parable. Parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. And in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so now the setting moves. It moves from this like vast wilderness where the shepherd seeks out the lost sheep and into a dark house. A woman loses one silver coin out of 10. And to find it, she does three things. She lights a lamp, she sweeps the floor, and she searches carefully until she finds it. And just like the shepherd, when it's found, she throws this party. And so what we saw in the story of the shepherd was my first point, that God tracks us down. And here in the second point, we have the God who treasures our worth. The God who treasures our worth. Jesus is being poetically clear here. God is joyful when one sinner repents, that he treasures you, he wants you, he desires to find you. The entire testimony of Scripture confirms this truth. God does not want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to be saved, and he rejoices when you are restored. Matthew 18:14 says, "So it is not the will of the Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost." And 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." God's word is clear. He wants everyone to be saved, and God rejoices when anyone is saved. Imagine losing something so small as a single coin, but immensely valuable. Like a rare silver coin passed down by your grandparents or something, or your car keys right before a big trip. It rolls under the couch and in the dark dust, and you don't just say, "Oh, well, I still have 9 other things." No, you turn on the lights, you sweep the floor, you get down on your hands and knees, you seek it out until you hear that beautiful sound. And I think we all need to accept that you are, I am, we are immensely valuable to God. Think of those heavy moments when you sit in your room feeling invisible, worthless, completely forgotten. Convinced that your past mistakes have made you too dirty for God to care. He values so highly that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He values you so much. He sent Jesus to step into the mess of this world to find you. And this week, Jesus has taken the dark corner of your life, the shame, the bad habit that you've been trying to hide, and he's bringing it into his light. So confess to him, share it with a trusted friend, because God is shining his light into the dark corners of your life to restore us. God turns on a lamp, picks up the broom, and searches you out to find the dark corners of your life. And he asks you to turn it over to him. We move now into the most famous parable of all. Jesus takes the wilderness and the house, and he brilliantly ties them together in the most famous story of all, the parable of the prodigal son. I'm going to read for us verse 11 to 24, and then we'll read the rest in a moment. It says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had 2 sons, and the younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' And so he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he began to be in need, and he went out and hired himself out to be a citizen of that country, who sent him out to his fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And so he got up and went to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father cut him off, saying, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and it was found.' And so they began to celebrate." What we've seen this morning so far is that there is a God who tracks us down, There's a God who runs after us. And we see that in the story here. The Father, while the Son was still a long way off, the Father ran to be with him. And we see, and the second point I made was that there's a God who treasures us. And we see this in the story. As soon as the Son starts to apologize, the Father cuts him off and says, "No, here, have this ring, have this sandals. Let's have a party that you're back. That which was lost has been found." And now we come to this third point. We have the God who throws the celebration. The God who throws the celebration. We know the story of the younger son who ran away, hit rock bottom in a pig pen, and decided to walk home with a rehearsed speech. A relationship with Jesus, it's not about earning his love. It's about accepting his grace. A relationship with Jesus is not about earning his love. It's about accepting his grace. But remember who Jesus is talking to here. He's talking to Pharisees who grumble about Jesus eating with sinners. And I think in this next section, what happens is Jesus writes the Pharisees into the story. The older brother here, I think, represents these Pharisees. Let's read how the older brother responds. Be verse 25 to 31. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. And so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, and yet you never gave me even a young goat so I would celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed a fatted calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" See, the story doesn't end with the younger son. It ends with the older brother standing outside, furious that this messy sinner is getting a party. And the father has to leave his own party to walk out and plead with his self-righteous older son to come inside and join him. The Greek word for repent is metanoia, and it means literally to turn around, to go the other direction, to change your mind. The younger son changes his mind and comes home. And now Jesus is inviting the Pharisees to change their mind and to join the heavenly celebration. Jesus isn't telling them, "You're invited to celebrate with me the good things that are happening right now." And he brilliantly leaves the ending open. We don't know what happens with the older son. We don't know what he does. The Pharisees get to decide how the story ends. Are they going to celebrate with Jesus, who is eating with these sinners? See, a personal transformative relationship with Jesus isn't about being perfect or working like a slave to earn a spot in the house. It's about accepting the robe of grace and the ring of the family that the Father freely gives. I'm going to move into a time of closing. Can somebody let Garen and Rachel know? During our closing song, we're going to create space for experiencing the presence of Christ. That's what we want to do. And so I invite you to open your hands and to experience the physical sign of dropping everything that you've brought here. And drop your self-defense and simply receive the Father's embrace. Today, Jesus has given us three unforgettable pictures of God's heart. We looked at this good shepherd who refuses to leave behind a single lost sheep shivering in the cold. But instead, he tracks it down, lifting it onto his shoulders, carrying it home with joy, and celebrating when he gets back. And we looked at a diligent woman who lights a lamp and sweeps every messy, dusty corner of her house because the one lost coin is valuable to her. And Jesus does the same with our lives. And finally, we looked at this loving father who doesn't even wait for his broken son to finish a rehearsed apology before throwing his arms around him, while simultaneously walking out to plead with a cold-hearted older brother to drop his self-righteousness and join the party of joy. So my final charge to you today is this: repent and join God in his joy. Whether you have been a sinner who has wandered a far way off, or you have self-righteousness that says, I'm not even sure they belong here, repent of that and join God in the joyous celebration. The biblical word for repent, metanoia, is not a scary, punishing word. It means to change your mind and turn around. If you're here today and you recognize that you've been drifting, whether through reckless choices that left you covered in shame, or through everyday apathy that has made your heart cold and numb, stop running and turn around. Stop trying to earn your way back into the house. Turn your heart around to Jesus and encounter him in the immediate transformative presence, because he has been pursuing you all of your life. Let him lift the weight of your guilt and carry you home. And for those of you already close to the Father, the summons for you is to check your own heart. Don't stand outside the tent grumbling like the older brother, judging those who have blown it. Drop your self-sufficiency, open your arms, join God in his joy. I'm gonna invite Sarah and Garrett to come and join us in worship. Let's become a church family that celebrates every single time a wandering soul is found, because heaven is throwing a party right now. And there is a seat at the table waiting for you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you reveal in my heart who I am more like? Am I a sinner who needs to come home? Am I a self-righteous older brother who wonders, should we even accept them? Would you show me who I am inside, Lord? And would you help me to turn around and follow after you, to join in all of the joy that you have for us. So I want to experience that joy richly and deeply, Lord. So would you help me to do so? And I pray this in your name. Amen. If you would stand with us as we go into this next song, if you want prayer, if something's been meaningful for